any chance you feel kind of down today? Kind of low? Kind of depressed? Look in the mirror and you say, I don't like what I see? Have years of self-doubt and failure clouded your ability to see who you really are? In fact, you may believe that you're not worth much, that life really doesn't matter. I'm here to tell you, it's not true. In fact, the God of the universe cared so much that he sent you a letter to tell you how important you are. Would you like to know what that letter says? Well, if so, stick around.
Well, thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this international discipleship program. My name is Dave Truey, and today Chip continues his current series, Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers. Now, just before we get started, let me encourage you to try using Chip's free message notes while you listen. Chip's notes contain his outlines, scripture references, and much more. They're a quick download when you go to livingontheedge.org. Just click Listen Now. Well, now let's join Chip for part two of his message, How to Overcome Inferiority and a Low Self-Image.
First, you need to understand faith is built on God's Word. Hebrews 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I do not understand this. I don't understand it, but I'm telling you that when you expose yourself to the Scripture, when you hear the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, when you put Christian music on that has content and lyrics and truth, faith grows. Secondly, though, it's not enough just to be exposed to the Scriptures. It grows when you renew your mind. Romans 12, 2 tells us that don't be conformed any longer to distorted mirrors. Don't be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed, how? Metamorphosized from within, changed by the renewing of your mind, that your life or your lifestyle could demonstrate what the will of God is, that it's good, that it's acceptable, that it's perfect. The key is the renewal of your mind. You are what you think. You are what you eat, and you are what you think. Whatever you think, eventually, because that's scriptural. Proverbs 23, 7, as a man or a woman thinks in her heart, his heart, so he or she becomes. Now ask yourself, you watch 20 to 25 hours of TV, you read three or four cheap novels, make sure you get in the sports page, the business section every day, or 4 out of 5 days, and you put all that information combined with all the commercials, all the billboards, and all the people you meet, and their agenda is to say, your value depends on your appearance. Your value depends on your status. Your value depends on your performance. What do you think you're going to believe? Lies. But if instead you took some of that time and you begin to take seriously mastering the English Bible, in fact, memorizing key passages and studying it and getting God's view of you, you know what will happen? You'll be transformed. You'll be transformed because you're going to be what you think. You only have 168 hours every week. And if you think that 45 minutes or an hour or so here together is going to offset the content of what's going into your head, the other 167, you're dreaming. For some of you, memorizing some scripture in the next 4 to 6 months, if you got real serious about it, could change and transform how you think about life into how you feel, and that would change all your relationships. But it's hard work. In fact, more than renewing your mind, I think you have to come up with a plan. Notice three, develop a plan to remove the distorted mirrors of the world with the mirror of God's Word. I stole this material from my wife. I watched my wife for over 5 years read this every morning and read it every night. These are affirmation statements from Scripture about appearance, belonging, worthiness, security, and competence. She didn't try. It wasn't legalistic. She did, oh, I got to read this morning. She wanted to see herself how God sees her. And so she would read in the morning, appearance. My physical appearance and my unchangeable aspects is beautiful or handsome in God's sight. He is my designer and maker. And then she kept reading it over and she memorized the passage underneath. Belongingness, I am wanted, appreciated, and loved by God, the most important person in my life. She affirmed that. She'd pray and just let it wash over her. Worthiness, I am now a righteous person in God's sight since I've trusted Christ. I am covered by the robe of His purity and goodness. Also, since I have a new nature, I am a good person in my general practice of life. as I continue to grow in Christ. And she would read this over and read it over. And you know what happened? I watched my wife like a flower bloom. Years it took to where she began to look in the mirror and say, I'm unique. I don't have it all together. I've got a lot of room to grow. But I'm not a bad person. And what other people think of me is their own personal business. I will not give it the power to determine whether I'm an okay person or not. I put that in there because some of you, what we're talking about, if we were one-on-one and we knew each other better, tears would be coming down your cheek right now. Because you don't like you. You don't like you at all. And you're hurting down deep inside. And you know what's amazing? Some of you that feel the most this way are some of the prettiest, most talented, gifted people in the room. There is no correlation whatsoever between how you really look, act, feel, competence, and what goes on inside. I've learned that over the years. But God can change you. How does it start? You get God's view of you, number one. Number two, believe God's view is true. Now, three, here's the kicker. And my wife told me to warn you all, especially those of you, this is hard, all right? So I'm going to warn you. She said, Chip, make sure when you get to number three that you let people know they may not be able to do this one alone. They might need a coach. They might need a cheerleader. Chip, we're different in personality, and you've got to make sure to tell people, for some people, this is really a scary thing. And what I want you to know is that I'm going to ask you to do some things that will be real hard for some, but if you'll do them, God will show up. Because see, you can know it, you can start to believe it, but some things can never, ever become a part of your psyche and your life until you experience them. So you have to discover the you that's true. Jesus taught this way. Remember when Peter was in the boat and Jesus was walking on the water? He believed. Is that you, Lord? He said, yeah. Peter said, well, if it's really you, I believe, then have me walk out to you. What did he learn when he was walking on the water? It's true. It's true. And then he did what we do. Then he looked around and said, uh-oh. But that's how faith grows. It's true, it's true, uh-oh. It's true, it's true, uh-oh. That's life. The spiritual life isn't this. The spiritual life is this. But notice the direction. Lots of ups and downs. Remember when they were fishing? Jesus let them experience it. They've been fishing all night. They heard a sermon. He wanted them to have some faith in who he really was. You have to discover it. You have to experience it. So Jesus says, hey, why don't you take your nets and throw them out on the boat on the left side? They're professional fishermen. Their basic answer is, look, we've done this a little bit ourselves. We've been out all night. They don't bite at this time of day. You can almost hear them say, and there's no fish here. And you can almost hear, you know, as you paint the text in your mind, Jesus sort of looking at him like, humor me, guys. You know, just humor me. Just throw the net out. And they do, and you remember what happens. I mean, it's so filled with fish that the nets start to break. How did he teach them? It wasn't just lecture. It just wasn't intellectual, cognitive faith and belief. You have to discover it. Here's the axiom. Here's how a lot of things transpire in your life. The principle is Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For by whatever measure, the idea is, you know, a scoop, or by whatever measure you give, in that same measure, it'll be given back to you. Now, that passage is often quoted with reference to money. It's true. But that passage is not a money reference in Scripture. You go read Luke, and you'll just find it is in a section of Scripture that talks about how life works. When you give away friendship, what happens? People want to be your friend. When you give away a listening, attentive ear, what happens? People want to listen to you. When you give away compassion, what happens? People are compassionate to you. When you give away short, quick, abrupt, rude actions toward others, what do you get back? It's axiomatic. Some things can only be learned by experience. I'm going to give you five things. And by the way, this is a mouthful. Someone asked me, how long does it take to prepare messages? This one took about 20, 25 years. I'm dead serious. These are things I've been learning for 25 years. And I'm just skipping over the mountain peaks and encouraging you to go back and study. But here, because all I want you to get is the big main points. See yourself the way God does. Believe what God says about you is true. and then discover the you that is true by experiencing it. Let me give you five key ways to begin to experience what's true of you. Number one, unwrap your spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. God wants every person in this room to know that you have a supernatural ability. If you've trusted Christ, if you're a part of His family, He's saying every believer has a supernatural ability at least once. When you put that on the playing floor of the body of Christ, boom, stuff happens. People get loved. And you know what happens when you exercise your spiritual gift and you see people moved and changed through you? Guess what happens to you? God used me. Maybe this is more real than I think. Second, unleash your spiritual passion. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Some of you have these desires, but you've never shared them with anyone. You got a desire to see disabled people reach for Christ. You get a desire to see what could happen in third graders. You get a desire for an Hispanic ministry to grow. You have a desire for people to meet in homes all over the county and study the Bible and become close friends. You have all these passions and desires. Nobody knows what they are. And you've not put them out on the playing field. You know why? Because no one would ever want to listen to someone like you. And if you tried it, of course it wouldn't work, would it? Of course not. An inferior person like you, like me. Hey, unleash them. Unleash them. Get them out there in the playing field of the body of Christ and see what God will do. This is the part where those of you who are thinking, this guy's nuts. Teresa was right. This is scary. You're right. Give and it'll be given unto you. Third, use your God-given talents. Speaking of the building of the temple, the Lord says in Exodus 31:3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. Some of you can work with wood. Some of you can crochet. Some can work with computers. You have all kinds of talents. You know where a lot of the talents are in this room? Buried under the floor. We don't even know what you can do. Because you're thinking, oh, well, I mean, that's, you know what? When you're really talented, here's my almost 99% experience with talented people. Everyone here has talents. But the one that you're good at, because you're good at it, you say, oh, shucks, I mean, that's nothing. Yeah, for you. For the rest of us, it's like, whoa, where'd you learn how to do that? Oh, well, you know, my dad played the guitar, and I just started picking a little bit, and you know. And you know, you're saying, oh, well, I don't know much about computer. I just taught myself. You know? Oh, I don't build anything. I just tinker out in the garage. And yeah, it's 4,500 square feet. I did it in a week, you know? Hey, get your talents out there. Let us know what they are. Put them into play. Serve people. Take your gifts and say, I want to serve people. Get your passions out on the playing floor. Take your talents and say, hey, God, I'll help somebody with these. I don't think it's much, but I'll put them into play. Fourth, embrace your God-given personality. 1 Corinthians 2:11, the Living Bible says it well. It says, no one really knows what anyone else is thinking or what he is really like except that person himself. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. You know what? There's different personalities. There's not a right one. Have you got that down yet? You don't have to be upfront, outgoing, visible, motivating people. And you don't have to be sly and cool and reserved and stoic. You can be you. If you're funny, be funny. If you're laid back, be laid back. If you're driven, get driven in the right direction. Just, you know who the most attractive personality in the whole world is? You! There's only one of them. Why copy something else? Put it into play. Pull off the mask. Just be you. A sanctified you, Lord willing. A spirit-controlled you, Lord willing. But just be you. The person that people will most be attracted to is not you trying to fulfill what you think they want. It's you being who you really are. Fifth, leverage your past experience. Romans 8:28, great promise. It says, and we know that in all things God works for good of those who are loved by Him who have been called according to His purposes. Some of you have educational experience. Some have vocational experience. Some of you have marriage experience. Some of you have parenting experience. Some of you have suffering experience. And you've been through the agony of just cancer or of a divorce. Or you've been through a childhood that it was just unmentionable. God doesn't waste pain. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that the comfort and the grace God gave to you through your pain, He wants to take that so you can comfort others in the same way. God doesn't use people's strengths normally. He usually uses your weaknesses. You know, when someone has it all together and we say, hey, do you want some help from me? I'm really good at this. Most of us say, no, not really. But when someone walks up to you and says, boy, I struggled with that too. And you know what? My dad left when I was five too. And I've surely had some struggles. And kind of here's what the Lord showed me as I've grown up without a dad. Leverage your experiences. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let's get out of the cubicle. Let's move out of the little TV room with the entertainment center. Let's get out of the fences that go all the way around to keep our life safe. Let's get out of making sure our 401ks and all those things that we think are going to keep us secure that won't. And let's serve other people. Let's get our focus out on others, because here's the axiom. Ministry is how God makes what's true of us true in us. Think of that. Ministry, giving it away, is how God makes true in us what's already true of us. Sometimes it's only in the act of loving others that we can fathom that we ourselves are loved. Sometimes you can only fathom how deeply loved you are when by giving love to another, God lets you see how very real it is. I struggle with grasping that God loves me unconditionally. For even the Son of Man came what? Not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve. Are you hearing it? Believe what's true, but discover it by giving away what He's given you. Risky? Yes. Need a cheerleader? Probably. Need a coach? Yes. Need help? Absolutely. But according to a Gallup poll, only 10% of all laymen are involved in ministry in the Church of Jesus Christ. 50% of them said they have no interest. I feel sorry for them. I feel really bad for them because they're ignorant. I don't mean bad ignorant. People that have no desire to be involved in ministry, they're going to miss out on the richest blessings of life. But 40% of them said, no one's ever asked me, or I just don't know how. I'll tell you what, if you're involved in ministry here, I'd start asking people to join you. People just need to get hooked up, put their gifts into play, get their talents on the playing field. You must get God's view of you. You must believe God's view is true, and you must discover the you that is true. Let's go for it.
Seeing yourself as God sees you. Sounds simple, but it's not easy. Well, Chip will be right back, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. This message is from Chip's series, Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers. Now, in it, Chip tackles some of the most common obstacles we experience to personal growth. You'll learn how to overcome the feelings of loneliness and isolation. You'll discover how to conquer personal stagnation. And you'll find out how to defeat the thoughts of inferiority and a low self-image. It's a series that'll give you the tools you need to build a better future based on the truth of God's unfailing love. But just listening once may not be enough for you. To order your copy of Chip's series, Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers, just dial 1-888-333-6003 or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Well, Chip, we're talking today about how to overcome feelings of inferiority and a low self-image. You know, Satan, the father of lies, attacks us constantly, whispering all kinds of lies that feed into these struggles. So the truth is we're fighting a spiritual battle that we may not even be aware of. And so we've created a new tool to help people be more attuned to the battle. Would you take just a minute to describe it?
Absolutely, Dave.
We're very excited about a brand new tool we've created to equip you for spiritual warfare that every believer, I mean every Christian, invariably has to fight.
Right.
They're called spiritual warfare cards, and let me tell you what they are. They're going to help you reveal, number one, who the enemy is, number two, how to unpack the lies he uses to distract and discourage us, number three, it'll highlight the truth of God's word, and then teaches you how to actually engage in battle. The fact of the matter is, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says that we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And the only way to do that is you arm yourself with the power of Scripture to overcome spiritual attacks so you can stand firm against the adversary. I don't think the average believer has any idea that the battle is in their mind, and these cards will really help you experience victory.
Thanks, Chip. Well, these spiritual warfare cards are going to help you take a look behind the scenes at how Satan works, how he manipulates, and how he lies to defeat and discourage you. If you want to equip yourself to overcome his schemes, these new spiritual warfare cards are not only cool to look at, they're going to help you create some frontline defenses. Remember, knowledge is power. It's true. So whether they're for you to send to a friend who's struggling and needs some insight, or even to help you educate your kids, let me encourage you to visit us online at livingontheedge.org and check out our brand new spiritual warfare cards. Well, now here's Chip with a final application.
You know, it's rather ironic, isn't it? The paradoxes of life. The way that you really get is to give. The way that you really live is to die. The way that you discover who you really are is not getting, 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 taking, 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 having and experiencing. It's serving. And yet we resist that. I mean, we all do. The Gallup poll that we cited in the message, only 10% of all the believers in America are active in ministry. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking, there's no guilt trip coming about, you know, if you haven't served in the nursery in a while, you better get with the program. No. What I'm talking about is God's wonderful gift of giving you a shape. I mean, a miraculous, unique thumbprint, an imprint that only you have. And you might say, well, what's all this shape stuff? It's an acronym we use around here for how God made us. The S stands for your spiritual gift. We believe every believer needs to know your spiritual gift, the supernatural ability. I talked in the message, unwrap your spiritual gifts. You need to know what they are and get them into play. And boy, exciting things happen. And the H is for heart or passion. You need to unleash your spiritual passion. There's some things deep inside of you that if you begin to express them, I'm telling you, you'll get up every morning and you'll knock down the wall. The A stands for ability. You have certain abilities. They're not necessarily spiritual, but it's the way you think. It's the way you can talk. You're an artist. You can use music. You're an engineer. You have abilities. God wants to use those. Think about how do you put those into practice for the kingdom. The P is personality. There's extroverts and introverts. There's all kind of great tests to discover that. But God gave you a personality that combined with your passion, your gifts, and your abilities. I'm telling you, there's only one of you. And when you get involved in your local church, I don't mean just attend. I mean get involved in ministry aligned with this shape. Exciting things happen. You say, well, I don't know exactly where I would do that. Well, the E is for experience. God has been preparing you for a ministry. And so your spiritual gifts, your passions, your abilities, your personality, and those past experiences all blend together where a hand drops into a glove of ministry. The hand is you. The glove is the ministry. And I mean you begin to do that, and you will discover your unique design, joy like you've never known, and the kingdom will grow. I challenge you before God today. Get engaged in a specific ministry. Take a risk. Say to your pastor, I want in. Where do you need me?
You know, a great way to stay engaged and connected to Chip and Living on the Edge is with the Chip Ingram app. You'll get free access to all of Chip's recent messages, his message notes, and much more. And not only that, but it couldn't be easier to call or email us directly from the app. Well, next week on Living on the Edge, Chip will continue his series, Breaking Through Life's Biggest Barriers. So I hope you'll make plans to join us then. For now, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this weekend edition of Living on the Edge.